Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, I'll tell you why Jalen Noel will receive votes for the Sixth Man of the Year award this season. Three big reasons why I truly believe he'll be in the conversation for the award. It's all upcoming today on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beek and I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day. Hopefully your week is going well. A big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Of course, Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere you listen to podcasts. That includes YouTube as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And also, my account is at bbeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. If you're looking for a Jalen Noel appreciation, a Jalen Noel praise podcast, you've come to the right place today. If you are a regular listener to the show, you know that I love Jalen Noel. I think he's fantastic. I've been singing his praises now since, I don't know, most of the way through. I guess that was the second COVID year when Ryan Saunders was ultimately fired. So the 2021 season, early that year, I was pushing for Jalen Noel to see the floor more often. He did a little bit under Finch. He did a lot more frequently last year. And as it turns out, he's really, really good. I want to break down today the case for Jalen Noel earning some Sixth Man of the Year votes this season. I think that is absolutely on the table. I'll tell you why. I have three big reasons. And I guess make this argument very clear here, or I guess not really argument, make this take, I guess. I'll say it's a take. Why I think that this is legitimate, though. Like, I think there's a real chance this could happen. To be fair, there were, 3, 6, 9, there were 13 players that received at least one vote for Sixth Man of the Year last year. I should say at least one vote, first, second, or third place. So 13 players received a first, second, or third place vote. If we take out the guys that only received a third place vote, one or more third place votes, that takes out four players. That brings you down to 9. If we talk about players that only received a first place vote, that would bring us down to 3. If we look at players that only received a first or second place vote, that brings us down to 7. So I'll refine this a bit more. So, 13 guys, that's a lot. We'll say Jalen Noel will receive at least one second place vote this year for Rookie of the Year. But all that to say, I think he's a legit candidate. And I'll tell you why. I have three reasons. I'll give you the three reasons now, and then I'm going to expand on each of them in the show today. First of all, the opportunity. Jalen Noel will have the opportunity this year to put up numbers and to be to be in this conversation, right? The second thing is production, and that it's different than opportunity, right? Because you need the opportunity to do it. Second of all, you actually have to have the production. And really, if we're oversimplifying this, we could just call it the point production, right? The scoring potential is there. And then lastly, the impact on winning. And this is closely related to production as well. The team has to be good, and the player in question has to have a serious impact on that team's ability to be good, on that team's ability to win in crunch time, to follow through, and to have a good record, be a playoff team, etc. And I believe Jalen Noel will have opportunity. I think he will have production this year. He will produce in his role, and I believe he'll have an impact on what should be a very good Timberwolves team this season. So let's start with opportunity. So if you're a regular listener to this podcast, I've laid out the kind of the backcourt, what I think that rotation is going to look like for the Wolves this year. I think pretty clearly he's head coach Chris Finch's third guard on this team. Obviously the starters are D'Angelo Russell. Anthony Edwards slides down to the two this year to start at the two. Of course, for a lot of last year, it was D'Lo and Patrick Beverley in the backcourt as starters, and Edwards started at the three. I think it's D'Lo and Ant in the backcourt. That's pretty obvious. The rest of your backups in the backcourt are Jordan McLaughlin, who is a point guard through and through, Bryn Forbes, who's an undersized guard, really kind of a shooting guard in a point guard's body, Jalen Noel, Austin Rivers, who's on a partially guaranteed contract, and Josh Minot. I guess he's really more of a three than he is a two. So I guess you could say Wendell Moore also, but you know, both rookies. So really you're talking D'Lo and Ant as starters, and then your four bench guys, not including the rookies, are Jordan McLaughlin, Jalen Noel, Bryn Forbes, and Austin Rivers in no particular order. Jalen Noel is clearly the most talented of those four. He's really the only one with significant upside. Remember, Jordan McLaughlin's older. He's a four-year college player. This is his fourth year as a pro now. Jalen Noel is the one that has the most upside and the most production of any of those players. Obviously, Austin Rivers and Bryn Forbes are proven in different ways, but Jalen Noel is the one that is going to bring, again, the upside, the overall production in that role. And for that reason, I think he is the third guard. He can play the one. He initiated some offense last year when D'Lo was down, when Patrick Beverley missed some time, when Jordan McLaughlin missed some time. There were guys out with COVID. Jalen Noel was asked to run some point guard. He did a pretty good job. And so that matters. That means he can be the third guard. Also, if he defends at all, and I'll be really clear about this, Jalen Noel is not a good defender. He's arguably, except for maybe Bryn Forbes now, the worst defensive player on this roster right now. But everybody else is mostly average or above average. You know, D'Lo's average at best. But Jalen Noel is going to have the opportunity, despite his defense, if he defends at all, he's even got a shot at playing in crunch time lineups because of his shooting ability, because of his ability to create. You know, maybe we're looking at an offense-defense type, you know, as much as that's possible that head coaches like to play at the end of the game. Maybe Jaden McDaniels is in on defensive possessions, and if possible, you put in Jalen Noel for his shooting, because you put Noel in the game, you have Russell and Noel in the backcourt, Ant at the three, and Townsend Gobert, or even if Gobert gets, you know, everybody's worried about him getting played off the floor, fine. Then you play McDaniels at the four, and you have shooting at all positions, or you keep McDaniels off the floor. You have Townsend Gobert in the front court, Russell, Noel, and Edwards in the backcourt. It gives you the possibility of having at least four plus shooters on the floor at the same time, Russell, Noel, Ant, just given his range, and you know, teams have to respect his ability to shoot from three, and obviously Towns. And then you can add in, you know, another decent three-point shooter and creator and defender in Jaden McDaniels, or an outstanding defender, rim protector, rebounder, and Rudy Gobert. Those are some pretty good crunch time lineup options. All I'm saying is Jalen Noel has the opportunity to be part of that. I think that's a realistic possibility. Along with, you know, another aspect of opportunity is he fills the Malik Beasley void from last year. Malik Beasley was never comfortable coming off the bench as a scorer. He's not your typical microwave score, sixth man type, right? Beasley needed plays to be run for him, and he needed transition opportunities to be effective. Malik was not putting the ball on the floor and getting his own baskets, right? He actually was okay in pick and roll last year in very limited opportunities, but that's not Malik's game, right? It's running plays for him so he can shoot off of screens. It's getting out in transition. It's one dribble pull up in transition, getting to the basket. That's Malik Beasley's game. But those shots, that usage rate off the bench, that will be filled by Jalen Noel, and to a lesser extent, filling the Pat Bev role. Now, Pat Bev started for most of the year last year. He wasn't normally a high usage player, although he was at times. Noel is more dynamic offensively than Patrick Beverley, but between Beverley and Beasley, the vast majority of those shots are going to be picked up by Jalen Noel. Jordan McLaughlin is not going to step into that backup point guard role and suck up a ton of shots. There's no, you know, Kyle Anderson is really the only other rotational change besides obviously Rudy Gobert. So those shots are going to Jalen Noel. And Noel, when he played last year, had a fairly high, you know, involvement in the offense anyway. And then the next thing is something I want to focus on also as part of production, and that's the fit with Rudy Gobert. So I want to get into that next. And I think that kind of bridges, straddles the line between opportunity and production, because the actual on-court fit for Jalen Noel with the Wolves' best players is phenomenal. So I want to get into that and really kind of focus. The pick and roll numbers for Jalen Noel, spoiler, are probably going to surprise you. They're far better than even I expected when I went and looked them up. And also what that could mean with the Noel and Rudy pairing together. So we're going to get to that here next. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Built Bar. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you're depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. Delicious, indulgent cookie dough. Covered in chocolate, Built has done it again. Let me introduce you to your new favorite. Cookie dough chunk puffs have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate, as Built Bars always are. All the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it. Plus, it's actually healthy for you. Cookie dough chunk puffs are only 160 calories. They have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. Run to Built.com to snag a box for you and the family. It'll be the perfect treat, or you can find a really good hiding place and simply hoard them for yourself. Like all Built Bars, the new Cookie Dough Chunk Puff is covered in 100% real chocolate. That means they're healthy and they're tasty. Chocolate-covered cookie dough with a light, fluffy texture. So good. What's great about Built is that all their bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. You're going to love the new Cookie Dough Chunk Puff. Whether you need a snack for your workout, a late-night treat, or just need to grab a quick bite, Built is the perfect protein bar, and they taste better than a candy bar. Ditch the calories, ditch the fat, and ditch the sugar. Grab yourself a Built bar. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON15. That's a new promo code. So if you've ordered before, it's now LOCKEDON15. You'll get 15% off your order. Again, Built.com, promo code LOCKEDON15. All right, Jalen Noel is going to have the opportunity this year to be effective in a sixth-man role, and I do think he will get sixth-man player of the year votes, second place or higher, at least one vote this year. Along with opportunity, I think he will actually be able to provide the production necessary to garner votes for sixth-man of the year. And one of those reasons why I think both opportunity and production will be there is because of Jalen Noel's fit with both Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert. Looking at last year's lineups for the Timberwolves, Karl-Anthony Towns was actually Jalen Noel's best pairing in terms of two-man lineups and vice versa. Towns was Noel's best pairing and Noel was Towns' best pairing. So Towns and Noel played 398 minutes together over 48 games, which isn't a super high number. But it's like 7th or 8th in terms of Towns' two-man pairings. 398 minutes over 48 games. They had a 12.4 net rating, a plus 12.4. To give some context here, Towns and Vanderbilt, who he started next to, that was his third-best pairing at 7, a net rating of 7. Towns and Russell together was a net rating of plus 6.9. Towns and Noel was a plus 12.4, which is an absolutely phenomenal mark, no question about it. You look at Noel's best lineups and the players that Noel performed best with. His best pairing was also Karl-Anthony Towns, a plus 12.4, obviously, as you know, it goes both ways, the Towns and Noel pairing. And Noel's other good pairings were, it was mostly other guards. In terms of bigs, Noel was far and away best with Karl-Anthony Towns. Why? Because Jalen Noel was so good in pick and roll. Jalen Noel last year was the Timberwolves' best pick and roll ball handler player, if you're looking at any sort of volume. Malik Beasley technically was the best, but he did it less than one possession per game, actually half a possession per game. So less than 6% of the time was Malik Beasley actually handling a pick and roll. Jalen Noel used about a quarter of his possessions, 24.3% of his possessions was as a pick and roll ball handler, and he put up 1.06 points per possession. That was better than D'Angelo Russell. It's better than Anthony Edwards. It's better than Patrick Beverley. It's better than Torian Prince. Any other Timberwolves player, Jalen Noel was the best pick and roll ball handler player on this roster last year. And that combined with Karl-Anthony Towns being such a good pick and pop player and a decent pick and roll player, and Rudy Gobert being arguably the best pick and roll big in the league, certainly a top three, top five pick and roll big in terms of roll gravity. We talked about this on the show before. Not only does Gobert have the wingspan, the length, the ability, we know he's the best two-point shooter in the league. He was over 71% inside the, or 71% on two-point attempts last season. But Gobert also has the gravity as a roller, meaning he's sucking the defense in towards the paint. So he's effective when he gets the ball in his hands. Even if he doesn't, if Jalen Noel or D'Angelo Russell or Anthony Edwards doesn't dish the ball to Gobert, he's still pulling the defense in. And if Jalen Noel is the one initiating offense, he's in the same category as D'Angelo Russell in terms of mid-range shooting, pull-ups, floaters, etc. And even better than D'Lo, in my opinion, when he actually gets downhill and going towards the basket. I've talked about this before. I think Jalen Noel is actually a bit of a cross between D'Lo and Ant in terms of how he plays. He's not at all like Malik Beasley. Even if he's, you know, I mentioned he's filling that void in terms of shots attempted off the bench, but he's only nominally filling that role in terms of how he plays. He plays more like D'Lo, really a mix between D'Lo and Ant. I think he's more aggressive going to the basket like Ant, and he has more athleticism than D'Lo, obviously not in the same realm as Anthony Edwards, because, I mean, who has athleticism in that realm? Very few. But the playing style is more like D'Lo, where he can initiate, He can pull up. He's very comfortable at the elbows in the mid-range game. He can shoot from three. He's improved from three, as D'Lo did early in his career. So I think there's a ton of similarities, and it's one of the reasons why it's so exciting to watch Jalen Noel get the opportunity, because Ant and D'Lo are the starters, and they're great. Jalen Noel does a little bit. He brings a bit of both of those worlds in the same player. And we've talked on the show, too, about Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert. Their minutes will be staggered. Yes, Towns will start at the four. Rudy starts at the five. But more often than not, one of those guys will be on the floor, you know, foul trouble permitting, you know, which well, that's another topic. But, I mean, if foul trouble isn't as much a thing, if you know, if all things are equal, one of those guys is going to be on the floor for like 40, 42 or so minutes a game, I would imagine. And Jalen Noel will be fantastic with both of them. Remember, his best pairing last year was with Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns' best pairing was with Jalen Noel. Add Rudy Gobert, who's an even better pick and roll big than Karl Anthony Towns. And imagine Jalen Noel playing with both of them. He's always going to be on the floor with at least one of them, right? And so the sky really is the limit in terms of his production. He is such a perfect fit. You know exactly why Chris Finch talks so highly of Jalen Noel. You know, even prior to the Rudy Gobert trade, he was talking about Jalen Noel getting more minutes. He was mentioning him in the same breath as Jaden McDaniels and Anthony Edwards as a young player building towards getting more of an opportunity, somebody that they want to find opportunities for. This was before the Timberwolves traded Malik Beasley in the Rudy Gobert trade, and Finch was already talking about it. You know, Chris Finch knows that Jalen Noel's best pairing was Karl Anthony Towns, and Karl Anthony Towns' best pairing was Jalen Noel. And Jalen Noel was the Timberwolves' best pick and roll ball handler player in terms of points per possession last season. Rudy Gobert was one of the league's best pick and roll bigs last year in terms of points per possession. He's been one of the best pick and roll bigs over the last several years in the league. All those things are really collectively a match made in heaven with this Jalen Noel six-man type role, playing with Rudy, playing with Karl Anthony Towns. It's really exciting. I have to keep reiterating this. The best pick and roll ball handler on the Wolves last year in terms of points per possession was Jalen Noel. I should also point out that Jalen Noel had a better true shooting percentage and a better effective field goal shooting percentage than both D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards, and for that matter, most of the Timberwolves. If you're not familiar with what those stats are, true shooting essentially just takes into account twos, threes, and free throws. So it's supposed to be an all-encompassing efficiency metric. Effective field goal percentage essentially is weights three-point field goals appropriately. So Jalen Noel, if you throw out the guys that didn't play significant minutes, Karl Anthony Towns had the best effective field goal percentage on the Wolves. Jared Vanderbilt was second because he only shot twos primarily and was really good at them because he shot them from right at the basket. Torian Prince was next, somewhat surprisingly. And then Jalen Noel was after that. So he was fourth on the Wolves in effective field goal percentage. True shooting percentage after Towns, Vanderbilt, and Prince, and Naz Reid, surprisingly enough, then Jalen Noel. So he was fourth in effective field goal shooting percentage, fifth in true shooting percentage, well ahead of both Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell in both marks. And then the free throw rate is decent too. The free throw rate for Jalen Noel last year is 0.223, which is just a shade below D'Lo and even closer to Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards was 0.225, Jalen Noel was 0.223. So that free throw rate ticks upward. The efficiency on the field goal shooting is ticking upward in the both true shooting and effective field goal percentage. And then also, this is really interesting, turnover rate. Jalen Noel had the second lowest turnover rate on the Wolves next to Malik Beasley, who we talked about this earlier, didn't create at all. But Jalen Noel also had what was like the fifth highest assist rate on the team. He had a 20.2% assist rate and only a 7.4% turnover rate. So the turnover rate of almost half that of D'Angelo Russell, a turnover rate of almost half that of Karl Anthony Towns, and an assist rate that was better than Karl Anthony Towns, that was, you know, not to where D'Lo's was, but D'Lo was essentially always a point guard when he was on the floor. But a 20% assist rate, I mean, that's point guard territory, right? I mean, just slightly below Pat Bev, ahead of Towns, ahead of Anthony Edwards. So an assist rate better than Ant, a turnover rate better than Ant, a turnover rate half that of Karl Anthony Towns, roughly half that of D'Angelo Russell. Jalen Noel was far better than I think a lot of people realized last year. Now, it'll get more difficult when he gets more minutes, sure, because teams will key in on him a bit more. He's less of a well-kept secret now. But again, role gravity of Rudy Gobert, the attention that Karl Anthony Towns will draw, the you know, even if it's a subconscious breath of fresh air that or you know, deep breath that teams will take when they say, oh, D'Lo's off the floor, Ant might be off the floor. But Jalen Noel can do a lot of the same things as D'Lo and as Ant. Not in the same way necessarily. Well, actually pretty similar to D'Lo, but he can be effective. He's more efficient as a scorer than both of those guys, and yet can still bring the element of three-level scoring, of three-point shooting, of drawing fouls, and also assisting without committing as many turnovers. And for those reasons, you know, the opportunity and the production is going to be there for D'Lo. And now I want to, or excuse me, for Jalen Noel, I also want to talk about the potential impact on winning that I believe Jalen Noel will have this year. That's how we'll close the show here today. All right, we've talked about Jalen Noel's opportunity to be the third guard to fill the void that Malik Beasley is leaving or left behind in terms of usage rate off the bench, shots attempted, but also kind of fill the Pat Bev role in terms of being a secondary distributor, creator, initiator, and also some of the shots that Pat Bev took. The fit with Gobert, the fit with Towns, how good he is in the pick and roll. He was the Wolves' best pick and roll ball handler last year. A more efficient scorer, less turnover, a smaller turnover rate than Ant and D'Lo. All these things are true about Jalen Noel. But I also, you know, just as important is the impact on winning. If the Timberwolves are a 500 team, they're not going to get a sixth man of the year candidate. Nobody's going to vote for a guy who puts up numbers on the bench of a team that doesn't live up to expectations, because let's face it, even if the win total over under is still at like 48 or whatever crazy number it's at, which is still too low, this team needs to best that if they're going to not be considered if they're going to avoid being considered a disappointment this year. And Jalen Noel is going to be a massive part of that if the Wolves have success. The pick and roll game, again, I go back to that. If he has success in the pick and roll game, he puts up gaudy numbers in terms of scoring. He puts up gaudy numbers, potentially, I talked about this in the first segment, if he plays crunch time minutes, if the Wolves are behind and trying to catch up, or if they're playing a team that likes to play smaller, Jalen Noel is the ticket to do that. You put him on the court with D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, Karl-Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert. That's five really good scorers, four knockdown three-point shooters, you know, guys that teams have to respect from three. Jalen Noel is going to be that guy in crunch time. He's going to have that opportunity. He's going to put up the volume numbers that, you know, we know, voters for awards like this are paying attention to that sort of thing. Tyler Hero won easily last year, and for good reason, but it's mostly volume type scorers that are the ones that are getting traction for these awards. I mean, Emmanuel Quickley got a couple of third place votes last year for, admittedly, a pretty mediocre at best Knicks team that disappointed a lot of people. But that's also the Knicks. I don't think a Timberwolves player putting up those numbers on a 500 or worse Timberwolves team that had higher expectations would get votes. I'm just saying. But if the Timberwolves are good and they are a 49, 50 to 52, 54 win team, and Jalen Noel puts up double digit per game scoring numbers off the bench and shoots 38, 39% from three and distributes a little bit and impacts winning in a positive way, which I believe he will, that's a big part of the recipe towards winning this award or at the very least getting some votes. So again, it's production, it's opportunity, it's impact on winning. All of those things should be present for Jalen Noel. And he's going to surprise some people. Nationally, people don't know who he is. Look at any of these preview pieces. You listen to any soon NBA TV will roll out their 30-minute preview shows. Nobody's going to talk about Jalen Noel. They won't. I mean, you're not going to hear Charles Barkley doesn't know who Jalen Noel is. He doesn't. Most of these guys in the national shows aren't going to the national podcast. They're not going to talk about him. But he's going to get votes for Sixth Man of the Year this year. He's going to get every opportunity to be one of the straws that stirs the drink for the Timberwolves. And if he defends at all, that's the caveat to crunch time minutes. And that's the key to take him from being a volume, not even volume, because he's efficient, right? He's more efficient, again, than D'Lo, than Ant at this stage in their respective careers. If he wants to be more than a scorer and he can defend it all, then that's his ticket to regular crunch time minutes. That's how people are going to see him on these nationally televised games. That's how people are going to hear about him and know who he is. So if Jalen can defend it all, look out. He's going to get a ton more national attention this year if he can defend it all, if he can be a part of these crunch time lineups. And get excited for what we're going to see from Jalen Noel. I do think it's going to be a big season for him. All right. That's all we have for you today. We'll be back again on Friday, of course, with another show for you as we inch closer to the end of the offseason. We're getting there. International basketball, you know, at this time of year is almost over. Lots of Timberwolves players in the Twin Cities, and we're just a couple of weeks away from Media Day and training camp. So be sure to be right back here on Friday. A big thank you to those of you that do make Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. For your second listen, go check out the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022. By the time we post a new episode on Friday, this NFL season will be underway. The first NFL game is Thursday night. So right now, check out the 8-episode extravaganza to get you ready for the NFL season. The local team experts of the Locked On Podcast Network, plus a betting angle from Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets, all combined into one ultimate NFL preview. Search for Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.